Would the audience wish that more films zoomed in on the social element of stories and made it easier for them to study relationships? That's what you can gain more insight into in this episode of the special five-part edition of The Claim, an audience-focused podcast by the research and strategy company Publicom, developed in collaboration with EFM. In each episode, we invite international industry professionals on stage at Berlinale 2026 to discuss a series of claims about the audience based on insights from audience research from more than 150 films and TV series. In this episode, we're joined by Dries Flipper, producer at A Private View, and Tine Klint, founder and CEO at film sales and aggregation house Level K. My name is Niels Alberg, and I'm co-hosting with my colleague, Rikke Flodin.
Hi.
In the last episode, we claimed that audiences believe film could focus more on characters instead of story and theme. But we also see that sometimes audiences feel a need for more genuine portrayals of relationships. So one does not seem to exclude the other. Let's hear how Dries and Trine reacted to all of this. We hope you enjoy the claim and the conversation. Today we are joined by Tine Klint of the sales and aggregation house Level K, and by Dries Flipper from Private View. How did I do on the pronunciation?
You did perfect.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's get started. We're here to talk about a claim, Rikke. We should discuss this claim that we have considered to be valid. It's based on more than 5 years of research involving more than 5,000 qualitative audience replies. Millions of online conversations relevant to film and TV productions has been analyzed, and surveys has been replied for thousands of viewers. So come on and challenge us. I will now hand over to Rikke, who will present the day's the insight and the claim for today, and then we'll go into a discussion in a second.
Thank you, Nils. Well, before diving into the claim, I want to share with you a quote from one of our audience research projects. It's a quote that says, "I don't really understand why they are together. Do they even like each other?" So this is a quote that really sets the tone well for today's claim, which is about that the audience wish we made it easier for them to study relationships. So this claim is really about how the audience today are engaging in storytelling based on how they understand not only characters, but the relationship between the characters. So what we see in our research is a really clear tendency. Audiences are often more invested in relationship building than in the individual identity development. When we are involved in projects that are in early development, we often encounter a very strong focus on the single character. Who they are, what defines them, and how they evolve. That work is important because, as we have discussed in another episode of this podcast, characters are extremely important, and audiences actually wish we would focus more on characters. But this very single character focus, it doesn't really align with what the audiences seem to engage with the most. Because often we see that many audiences are drawn more to stories about us rather than stories about me. This claim seems to hold true across both age and gender and nationality, but in particular amongst the younger audiences, there is a strong interest in how to navigate socially. An example is a young boy who framed it in one of our projects. He says, "I'd like to see how other people are friends." So there's this very social curiosity that really indicates a broader shift towards stories that can explore who we are together rather than who we are alone. So this increased focus on social relationships rather than the individual character development is also reflected in how audiences respond to moments of strong character change. So those real turning points where something shifts or explodes resonate most when they're rooted in relationships, when change is triggered by interaction rather than isolation. And making relationships easier to study isn't really about explaining them. It's about giving them space to unfold, so audiences can observe, identify, and perhaps even be a little inspired by them as they evolve. So, the claim of today, the audience wish we would make it easier for them to study relationships.
Thank you. So, there's something to react to there.
I know you had your premiere last night and it was a hectic day, but I'm not going to spare you from a very long question to open this with. Do you think that European films could actually reach a broader audience if there was less focus on individual characters and more on relationship? I once spoke with someone from book publishing who claimed that the films are not doing as good a job as books in actually describing relationships. Do you agree in that? Do you agree that we can do more, attract even more audiences? And is it easy to translate something from books into films as well when it comes to relationships?
Oh, very good question. I don't really know the answer exactly to that. What I can say is, for example, with Dust, we clearly have two protagonists where it is really hard to say, like, is there a single character which is or main character? As you know, it is really about them and how they cope with the situation, how they handle the situation. They of course handle it very differently, and they also, you know, they are together in the beginning and then they are separated until the end of the film where they come together again. And I think yes, it is about that relationship, or the film at least is about that relationship and about how that influences their behavior, because they're looking, you know, the one is a bit scared of what the other would do. Is he going to do something to himself, or is the other one going to flee the country, whatever, you know? And I think yes, probably, you know, the claim here is quite true. We had a different thing on a project that we were developing where it was a film of Domin Hoehe, who had Sea Sparkle here 3 years ago in Berlin, where we had the two characters, the father and the 19-year-old daughter. And the question was something that we were struggling with during development of the project was that, is the main character the daughter or is it the father? And, you know, we went to many script consultancies, and at a certain moment there was one script consultancy we did in France. Don't remember the consultant we were working on that time, but he said, like, it's neither of them. It's the relationship who's your central character. And that's what is interesting for the film. And the moment we learned that is that we really straight away found the way into the script and solved the problems that we had.
Thank you. Great. That was a nice story. I wasn't aware of that, actually. Do you have any experience from the sales side on this that you want to react to, Tina?
Yeah, I see it as a positive challenge. If you can, and not my challenge necessarily, it's the producers and the scriptwriters' challenge.
It's something together, Tina, come on.
No, but if you can get the audience to the cinema, then there is time to build the relationship. But if you are sitting at home and watching TV channels or streaming, you have very few seconds to actually catch the audience. So there's very little time to catch the audience and to build any relationship. Then it would have to be in the marketing. And then you would have to, how do you reach the audience? Maybe on TikTok, maybe on social media, very much country dependent.
And do you think, from a marketing point of view, that is easier to promote a character-driven story than a relationship-driven story? Was that what you meant?
I think it's completely down to the material. And again, the right material at the right time, reaching that audience.
Is this at all a conversation that you are having when you are finding yourself in a sales conversation with a potential distributor? Are you talking a lot about the relationships, or is it more characters or theme settings, stories?
When we are talking about the one thing is pitching the film, and then the next step is talking about positioning, talking about the possibilities in across countries, and if there's a similar cultures or similar situations, but it's not necessarily something we always talk about.
Yeah, well, I think talk about maybe not very conscious. But yes, if you're developing a script or trying to pitch a project, you're trying to do that in a way that I think always it is about the relationship. Because, you know, a script and a script that is very exciting is something that tells something about who we are as humans. And so, you know, human beings are beings that need relationships in order to survive. Otherwise, you know, we won't be able to stay on this planet.
Yeah. I don't know, Rikke, wouldn't you say that often we see that the audience find some of the side characters to be very two-dimensional, and they actually really point to that they are very curious about learning more about them, but also how they serve a purpose rather than just being a background?
Yeah, 100%. And I think it is also something to do with everyone, especially young audiences, looking to understand what is the purpose of the characters in the story. And that purpose often has to be social. So why are they there?
Yeah, and you also would like to, if you look at a film and you have other characters there, you need to understand them. You need to be able to grasp them. You need to be able to know who they are. And you will only know that through the relationship they have with your other characters.
Let's shift the focus a bit into genres here. Are there any genre you think has better options for building on these relationship stories rather than character-focused stories? Or is that the wrong question? Has it more to do with segment of audiences we are talking about?
From my point of view, it is about being clear in genre, so that the audience understand and know what type of film that they are going to watch. So more about being completely clear.
Okay, so it's not that important where the genre is, just as long as the genre is clear.
Yeah, exactly.
And then again, I think we like to mix genres. You know, it's for example, Dust has thriller elements in, but it also has dark comedy elements in, and in fact, it's a drama. So could you say it's just a drama, or is it's, you know, that's something we have to, you know, it's also flexible what the genre is.
And as your sales agent of Dust, I can tell you that we are calling it a drama.
I know that.
Maybe a more suspenseful drama. But the thing is, as soon as you start going into saying there's thriller elements or, you know, something, you are sending the distributors that we are talking to in different directions. So and then it's not thriller enough. It's not a fast-paced thriller.
But those are distributors. Would that make a difference if you talk directly to the audience or not?
I think you still need to be clear to the audience. And then maybe in some countries you can, you would promote the film from a different angle. But when you're from the first point of view and you're talking to the distributors and they have to talk to exhibitors and TV channels and streamers, it is a drama.
Maybe you want to hold on to that question for the audience, because I'm going to come back to that in a second, please. But I would like actually just to add a bit more of data now, if you can just click here, Rikke. Thank you so much. Because what we also did was not only talking to each other at the office and discussing what we learned so far from all these qualitative reports, we also gave a lot of questions to 800 people to reply to, and we'd like to share a bit of this today as well. So in this case, the question here has been, I prefer films that primarily provide a social relationship building perspective. And 52% agree, so it's not 200% or 100% or 75%, but it's a fairly big amount. There's also quite a lot of people who really don't agree or disagree, so maybe there's also insights into that. And then there's not that many people that disagree, only 25%. So what I think we can take out of this is that there is, in this research at least, quite a lot of interest in having more social relationship building perspectives into films as well. So there's something about, we have been thinking about in identity versus belonging. Do you think we can, in times right now where people are maybe a little bit fed up with stories that are very individual, where identity building for yourself is something we have seen quite a lot. But in these times that we're living in, maybe the sense of belonging is something that the zeitgeist, in a way, is, or the culture, the society, the audience, are asking us to focus a little bit more on. You need your microphone.
Yeah, but it's a good question. I don't really know how to respond to that, because zeitgeist, it's a really difficult one, because also, you know, the moment you develop a project and the moment you actually shoot it, because, for example, this film, we started developing it in 2017. We had a first draft of the script, which is actually quite close to what the film is now. In 2019, we're 2026, so it took quite some time to have it actually made. So that means
a few things happened in the meantime.
Yeah, and taking so that would mean if we took into account the zeitgeist at that time, it's totally different than the one now. So, you know, yes, you can sometimes see, like, or try to predict what the importance would be. I think in the end it comes down to really try to make it as compelling as possible. And compelling in a way, like, you know, you said, like, and compelling is to make that relationship as complex as possible as well. Because I remember from our last podcast, which was in Cannes, that, you know, the younger generation, they tend to want to see films that are a bit more complex than what we normally think we have to make.
Yes.
Yes, and tomorrow's episode is dedicated completely to Europe's younger audiences, so stay tuned for tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. So I would like to add just a last thing here as well, and maybe that's for you, Tina. This is a qualitative quote, but we see this quite a lot. For the podcast, there's a picture of the development of Walter White from Breaking Bad, and that's the background of this image. And the quote goes, I love it when someone just changes in a really extreme way, like complexity crossing boundaries. So this is like flipping it a bit around, maybe, and saying, is this actually, when we see this desire for relationship amongst the audiences, is it also maybe a little bit of a compensation for the character driven stories that we have seen over the last years, where character-driven content has been quite, you know, dominating? Maybe it takes up a lot of space. But do we, maybe even from a European perspective, haven't we realized that if you are character-focused, then you need to have even more extreme character development? Is that a good thesis, do you think?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Care to elaborate a little bit? But no, I mean, is that, do you see that also from a sales perspective, that maybe the distributors are asking a bit more of, you know, action in the characters as well?
They are asking more about both relationship, characters, hope, but it's across genres, and it's right now with the world that we live in, more hopeful titles. And not necessarily. It's all about the complete film, about the marketing, about the package, the complete package.
Does that mean that it's difficult to sell a film also just based on a character pitch?
Yes. You need more than that.
Please, do you have any reflections here on how well we are at the character development? Are we out of pace with the audiences? Are they just being trained by the streamers for too long? Or what do you think?
Well, I think sometimes, or at least the projects that we develop are sometimes a bit too easygoing, and we need to really dig deeper into the material that we have in order to make it more complex in quite a lot of ways, and not to be satisfied with, you know, okay, we read a story and it works. No, we need to really understand the story and try to figure out, like, you know, what would happen if we take this further and further, and maybe even pushing writers and our talents to push those boundaries even more in order to come up with things that the audience could never guess or could never or wouldn't expect.
And then it's also depending on where you're seeing it and what you're seeing, because if you're choosing to go to the cinema, you might be looking for something else than if you are watching a fast channel when it's a advertisement funded VOD, because those films are maybe more easygoing, and it's just playing and you have it running for hours. Is it like a TV friend, you know, it's the background that you are, or are you actually sitting down and wanting to engage in a film? Then it's, so it's really, the outlet is completely different. So, but I think here we are mainly talking about films that have theatrical potential.
What is selling better?
Well, actually could... Both things. If you have an art house film in a cinema, sometimes they, you know, it. You can also have like a home entertainment title that is playing better for on SVOD or AVOD. So, you know, it's if we're talking about the financial aspect.
Interesting. And also, I can also advertise for one of the previous episodes, because what you touched upon before, Dries, with, you know, pushing things a little bit further was what we discussed also in episode 2. And one of the data that we brought there was we asked the audience if they were more afraid of, you know, something went too far or to be bored, simple. And 73%, right, said they were more afraid of boredom, basically. So if you want to dig into that.
It sounds quite logic.
All right, we have very much come to the end of the time here. Before we end, we have given you now a lot of questions, but we would like to reverse it a little bit and invite you two to come up with a question you would like us to ask to the audience. Once we get back, we have collected questions from all our guests, and we will run another survey, ask 800 people a question that comes from our guests. So have you something, Tina, you would like to ask the audience?
Yes, I would like to ask... do you like genre mixed films? And if so, what kind of genres would you like to be mixed?
That's a really good question, yeah. And thank you almost for phrasing it as the question. We don't have to do something work now. Thank you so much.
You slept well. now, my question would be, you know, in how far... is it important to have a cast that is recognizable for the audience or not? Or in how far for them it's just, you know, having the best actor for the best part?
Okay, also a very nice and specific question. Thank you so much, Dries. Thank you so much to our guests today, Dries and Tine, and have a great festival.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast is a part of a 5-episode series produced in collaboration with EFM. The series will be released shortly after Berlinale on both the EFM platform and our own website. So if you are curious to hear more about industry professionals' response to additional audience claims, please look out for the series once it becomes available.